Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God that we study this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 31 to 37. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor even the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to all, watch. So far the word of God. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. We've come to the final Sunday of the church year, and next Sunday we're going to start over again. We're going to wait and look forward to Christmas. It's not hard to convince people to look forward to Christmas. We usually get pretty excited about that. We're going to watch Jesus as he grows up, as he does miracles, as he again suffers and dies, rises and ascends. But before we do that, before we start over again, the Lord lays on our hearts one final word of warning and emphatically shows us that this is not for the disciples. It's not just for the pastors. It's not even just for the believers. But all men need to listen and watch. For he is coming soon, and when he comes, it will be too late. This is an urgent plea for all people to be prepared. And so we see in our text then, why should we watch? When should we watch? And how should we watch? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The story is told that during World War II, downtown Warsaw in Poland was completely leveled. There was barely anything left standing at the end of that devastating war, except the shattered structure of one building. That happened to be the British and Foreign Bible Society building in downtown Warsaw. And of that building, there was one wall left standing, and on that wall, clearly visible even from the streets, were these very words: Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. I can't speak to the validity of this story, being neither old enough to have been there after World War II, nor ever being to Warsaw myself. But even if the story is a little bit exaggerated or maybe even just made up altogether, the image that it portrays is certainly true. And the lesson that Jesus would lay before us in the opening words of our verse. This is very much the situation that Jesus himself has been describing to the apostles. He's told them that the temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed, that the nation of Israel itself will be wiped away, that even the powers of the earth, the Roman Empire, will fail and fall. He's been talking about how the stars, the very stars and sun and moon, will be darkened and fall from the sky. In other words, he's describing death and destruction. Yet through it all, the one thing that will remain, the one thing that will come through the other side, is his word. We all know one of those people. One of those people who has to save everything, right? Every can, every piece of clothing, put it in a box, store it away someplace because someday it might be useful. And many of those things will never be used, will eventually find their way into the garbage heap, will be forgotten. But Jesus reminds us here that this is the one thing we must keep. This is the one thing we want to make sure we don't lose somewhere along the way. You don't want to come to the end and find you've forgotten Jesus and his word. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, therefore, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. When should we wait? When should we watch? When should we expect Jesus? It reminds us very emphatically that no one knows, not the angels, not even he himself. Now there, of course, he is talking about himself during his humiliation, during his time on this earth, when he laid aside his power and his omniscience as God. And so at this point, he does not know. In his exaltation, he is omniscient, sharing in all things with the Father again. But here, he does not know. Almost immediately after Christ's ascension, people began to try to predict when the world would end. We have one early manuscript called the Epistle of Barnabas. It was written sometime between 70 and 130 A.D., very soon after Jesus' ascension, even while the Apostle John was still alive. And in this epistle, one man tries to, again, predict the end of the world. He says, well, you know, the creation took 6 days, the work of God took 6 days, and a day is like 1,000 years, therefore it must be 6,000 years until the end of the world. Well, 6,000 years have come and gone. Jesus hasn't returned. How foolish we are that we keep trying, or many people do keep trying, to find some clue in Scripture as to when Jesus will come. Despite the fact that Jesus very emphatically says, no one knows. Not the angels, not even the Son of Man himself. If there were any clue in Scripture as to when he would come again, Jesus would have known it. He knew the Scriptures better than anyone. I remember his time in the temple when he was just a little boy and how he astounded the teachers with a knowledge of Scripture even beyond their ability. But Jesus says, no, that is not given to us to know. So if you ever do hear someone, a pastor, trying to tell you this day or this hour or even this century is when Jesus is coming, you know right away, there's a man you can't trust. He's going directly against the word of God. Christ makes it absolutely clear that no one knows. Notice the parable, he says. He might come in the evening, he might come at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. The night there is symbolic of all of time. Jesus says, I might come at any point in that time. So be prepared. Be watching always. For it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Watch, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. How are we to watch? Well, any parent can tell you that if you leave a child waiting around with nothing to do, he or she, that child, is almost certainly going to get into trouble. And Jesus also tells us that that is not what he wants for us. He doesn't want us sitting around twiddling our thumbs. That was actually a problem in the early church. There were a group of people who thought, well, Jesus is coming soon, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, so we'll quit our jobs. You know, we'll sell everything we have. We'll just sit around waiting for him. And Paul speaks to them very harshly. That's not good. That's not right. That's not what God has told us. Notice that Christ left each with authority and with each to his own work. Given us each a task to do while we wait for him. Whether we build bridges or paint art or farm the land, doesn't matter. What matters is that he has given us this work to do, each to his own. And some of these things we might think also seem empty, seem pointless. After all, the food will be eaten. The bridges and the art will be destroyed. Sometimes our work can feel a little pointless. But the Lord says that we are to do these things while we wait. And in doing them, we serve him, providing for our family and for our neighbors. And that's a good and useful thing. We have here the example of Noah. 120 years he waited for the coming of the Lord, for the coming of the flood, and yet again, the Lord says, don't sit around with nothing to do. I've given you a task. Build the ark. And in the building of the ark, Noah preached a warning to the people and preached to them the grace of the Lord. Everyone who saw it could see, oh, why is he building this ark? And there was the opportunity for him to tell them, the Lord is coming in judgment. And so he served his neighbor. All of us work, but there is a difference between those who work so that they can get money and get the things of this world, or maybe even they work so that they can build up their reputation and show themselves to be wise and smart in the eyes of the world. There's a difference between working that way and those who work out of faith and love for the good of their neighbor. The latter person waits and watches for the Lord through his work. His work is an extension of his waiting, serving the Lord in those tasks that he has been given. The former, the first, has forgotten to wait and watch and is consumed only with the things of this world. This is the one that the Lord will find sleeping when he returns. And so we work and we share the gospel, but we work not for the things of this world, but we work in faith and love. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. When Jesus tells us to watch, we respond with joyful and eager hearts. In the words of the saints from the book of Revelation, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. What Jesus says here is a dire warning to a sinful world, but the hearts of his believers respond with joy, not with fear. We wait the way our children wait for Christmas morning. Not as an arduous task, but as something we look forward to. We wait the way a child waits for his birthday. We wait and we watch because the coming of the Lord means the end of sadness and sorrow. We wait and watch because his coming means the end of night and death. When he comes to reward, not those who have done great works on the earth, but those who have been washed in his baptism and made his children. We are like children whose father has gone on a long journey. We are eager for his return because we know he is bringing gifts. He'll take us to the zoo, and he'll, when he returns, stay with us forever. He is coming. He is coming with grace and salvation for us. We wait for him who comes in grace. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.